enduring legacy at Cap UCLA. More information and tickets available at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM KPFK, radio powered by the people. 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at www.kpfk.org. Peace!
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. We live in a global world. We are all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities, are responding. We also discuss the relationship between art and politics. Now to news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. The U.S. military has bombed another alleged drug boat, killing four people off the coast of the Pacific Ocean. It's the 22nd known strike on boats alleged to be trafficking drugs, bringing the death toll of the Trump administration campaign to at least 87. Continued scrutiny over the repeated bombing of an alleged drug boat with survivors on it in the Caribbean back in September. A Navy admiral told lawmakers in a closed briefing Thursday there was no kill them all order from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, as the Washington Post has reported. But video of the bombing has been met with concern. Here's Democrat Jim Hines of Oklahoma.
What I saw in that room was one of the most troubling things I've seen in my time in public service. Two individuals in clear distress, without any means of locomotion, with a destroyed vessel, who were killed by the United States. Under the DoD manual for abiding by the laws of armed conflict, the specific example given of an impermissible action is attacking a shipwreck. Any American who sees the video that I saw will see the United States military attacking shipwrecked sailors.
He also said those who were hit were bad guys, something Republican Tom Cotton of Arkansas also said in defending the strikes, calling them
righteous strikes. These are narco-terrorists who are trafficking drugs that are destined for the United States to kill thousands of Arkansans and millions of Americans.
Human rights groups have called the strikes war crimes, and the United Nations has warned against extrajudicial killings. The bombings come as the Trump administration has amassed the Navy and armed personnel along the coast of Venezuela. Saturday is a nationwide day of action saying no to war in Venezuela. Organizers say more than 50 protests are planned across the country. The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing Texas gerrymandered congressional districts to be used in next year's midterm elections. Despite a lower court ruling, the map likely discriminates on the basis of race. The map is favorable to Republicans and was pushed by President Donald Trump to preserve a slim Republican majority in the House in 2026. The move has touched off a nationwide redistricting battle, with California voters approving new congressional districts and an effort to void Texas's estimated five new GOP seats. The court's three liberal justices dissented. Florida's Republican-controlled state legislature has kicked off its new Select Committee on Congressional Redistricting, also redistricting attempts in Missouri and New York. Protests in New Orleans amidst the Trump administration's immigration crackdown, dubbed Catahoula Crunch. Residents were forcibly removed from the city council chambers, demanding action against the sweeps. Christopher Martinez reports.
No ice, no truth! Several dozen protesters were forcibly removed from a city council meeting after they disrupted the agenda, urging city leaders to create ice-free zones.
Make all city-owned property ice-free zones and prohibit ICE and DHS from using city property to stage their operations. No collaboration with ICE. City Council must pass ordinances that codify non-collaboration between the City of New Orleans and ICE.
Several hundred agents from Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement are aiming to arrest 5,000 immigrants in New Orleans and across Louisiana, saying they're targeting immigrants with violent criminal pasts. But that many arrests would be more than the number tallied during a two-month blitz this fall around Chicago, a region with a much larger immigrant population. The president of the New Orleans City Council says he cannot see any way a sweep of New Orleans would result in the arrests of 5,000 criminals. I'm Christopher Martinez.
Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin reintroduced the DREAM Act Thursday to defend young immigrants brought to the United States undocumented as children. At a Democratic congressional briefing Thursday, loved ones of immigrants in U.S. detention centers spoke out about their conditions. Among the speakers, Mildred Pierre, whose fiancé Rodney is in a detention center in Georgia. He was brought to the U.S. from Liberia when he was 2 years old and is disabled with prosthetics.
For the first 3 days, Rodney could not walk because ICE refused to allow the charger for his prosthetics. He went almost 2 weeks without a shower because the facility would not provide a safe place for him to remove his prosthetics. When he finally received a shower stool, the shower area was covered in mold, feces, urine, human bodily fluids.
I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
As a KPFK listener, you expect to hear smart conversations about important issues every time you turn on a radio. We bring you facts and analysis, not partisanship or hype, so you can form your own opinions on the news. You count on KPFK for information, insightful reporting, so please don't take covers like this for granted. It's here for you, thanks to the generous financial support of our listeners. Support the programming you rely on right now by calling 818-985-5735 or contribute online at kpfk.org.
Those were the news headlines and the introduction to our Fun Drive Hour here on Sojourner Truth. News headlines from Pacifica Radio. You are listening to Sojourner Truth with me, your new co-host, Nana Jumpy. Today on Sojourner Truth, we speak with Professor Miguel Salas on the increased tensions and the U.S. thirst for war with Venezuela, followed by Megan Ortiz on the continued attacks against immigrant workers and what we need to do to support and protect them from the regime's assaults. All this and more on Sojourner Truth Radio after this short music break. You are listening to Sojourner Truth with your co-host, Nana Jumpy, and wanted to bring in some music from Somali. Big up to our Somali family in spite of the terrible and horrible things that have been said about them. We know that they are a beautiful, cultured, brilliant people. And that was Salak Sanag coming to us from Somalia. I am pleased to be joined now by Professor Miguel Salas. Miguel Salas is Professor Emeritus in History and Chicano-Chicana Latino-Latina Studies at Pomona College, and an author of Enduring Legacy, oil, culture, and society in Venezuela, and Venezuela, what everyone needs to know. Greetings, Miguel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Best regards to everybody.
So, we can't hear everything that everyone needs to know about Venezuela, but given what we are looking at, right, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, and which is somewhat limited in terms of what comes across our feeds and what we get in media, both mainstream and even independent media like we have here at Pacifica Radio KPFK, wanting to understand, you know, get three things that we need to know about Venezuela. You can expand it to four if you need to, so that we can have a context for what's happening right now.
Well, the first I would say is that the Trump administration, as it did in the first Trump administration, has embarked on maximum pressure to remove from power Nicolás Maduro, the president of Venezuela. They initiated this back in September. They began with a concentration of U.S. naval power in the Caribbean. They began targeting boats that were leaving the coast of Venezuela, of Trinidad and Tobago, and of Colombia, claiming without any evidence that these were narco boats. They elaborated the term narco-terrorism in order to try to rationalize or legitimate their actions in Venezuela or off the coast of Venezuela. And they began bombing boats and becoming the judge, jury, and executioner, again, without providing any evidence. They have now amassed about 15% of the U.S. naval fleet in the Caribbean, with the aircraft carrier Gerald Ford, the largest aircraft carrier in the world. They have amassed about 15,000 troops in the region. They place planes in Puerto Rico, planes in Panama, operations in Trinidad and Tobago, as well as in Curaçao and Aruba. All of it aimed at initially trying to find fissures within the Venezuelan government, trying to find fissures within the Venezuelan military. Having not found any, or none have appeared, they now have seek to put more military pressure on the government. And their objective here, as it has been for the last 20 years, is regime change. They want to alter the dynamics of power in the Caribbean. They want to alter the dynamics of power in Latin America. They want to recoup space lost to the Chinese, who have increasingly become present in the economic sector of Latin America. China is the number one consumer of Latin American goods. And what they want to do is reestablish U.S. hegemony. The national security strategy that came out today indicates that this is not simply about Venezuela. This is a long-term strategy. This is a long-term strategy to reimpose U.S. hegemonic rule, and that the naval fleet that is there in the Caribbean is there to stay.
It is really, you know, I want to say it's amazing to see, but it's not, because firstly, we know that U.S. imperialism operates this way. And also because Venezuela has been a target for a long time. And even if we just take the past 12 years, so going, you know, obviously covering this time period, but even going back further, I mean, even through the Biden administration and then, you know, Trump regime won, there's been this focus, even to the point of pretending someone was the president that wasn't the president. We have the attacks even before that that were made on President Chavez. Give us a little bit of that context as well. Let's open it, you know, go a little wider.
Sure. Regime change has been the U.S. strategy since Hugo Chavez got elected in 1999. The first Bush administration attempted to implement a policy of containment. They wanted to contain Venezuela. They wanted to inoculate Latin America from the Chavez effect. The subsequent governments pursued a similar policy, cutting off relations. The Obama administration was no better. Obama in 2015 declared Venezuela a clear and present danger to the U.S., despite the fact that it lacked a Navy or an Air Force to represent any challenge to the U.S. So at the same time that he opened up relations with Cuba, he imposed sanctions on Venezuela, began the process of sanctions that was picked up by the Trump administration and pursued vehemently imposing sanctions. Now, sanctions are not value-free. Sanctions kill. Sanctions mean that the country cannot purchase medicine, cannot have credit, cannot purchase goods, cannot improve the infrastructure. So it has a consequence. There are plenty of studies out there by Mark Weisbrot, by Jeffrey Sachs, by Rodriguez and others have indicated the impact that sanctions have on the population, and the consequences are tremendous for the population. So we saw Obama do that. We saw Trump do that. Trump initiated a support for Juan Guaido, an interim president that they decided to endorse. They found 60 countries in the world to endorse as well. Having failed with that, we now have Trump version two, promoted largely by Mr. Marcos, the Secretary of State, pursuing a policy which they refer to as the Monroe Doctrine or the Trump Doctrine, or the corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, the new Trump Doctrine, which means that the U.S. has decided that Nicolas Maduro must go at whatever cost, and they're pursuing that strategy now. And long term, the threat is of an invasion of Venezuela.
Thank you so much for that. I think it's important for people to see that arc, right? And just for people to remember, like at one point, they just closed up the Venezuelan embassy and tried to take that over. And you know, there were folks who were employees of the Venezuelan embassy. They were trying to stand firm because the embassy is like a country. And so this is not the first time that the United States has decided that it was going to attack Venezuela, even, you know, in the form of an embassy here. And then, of course, there were attempts that the United States engaged in against the life of President Chavez and President Maduro. So this is just an ongoing piece that has been happening of threats of and of actual violence as well. You talking about all of these people that have been just murdered, straight up murdered, cold-blooded murder, in boats that have been in the Caribbean Sea, including folks from Trinidad, but obviously many, many more from Venezuela as well.
Right. And I think it's important to understand that, as I said earlier, these ships are here to stay. The U.S. wants to reassert its presence. Venezuela may be the target now, but I will guarantee you that the next target will be Cuba or Nicaragua, and even Mexico and even Colombia. Trump has already said he wants to go for land targets. And when he said that, he mentioned two countries directly. He mentioned Venezuela and Colombia. In addition, in his first administration, his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, indicated that Trump wanted to bomb sites in Mexico as well. So this is a policy to destabilize the entire region of Central America, Mexico, and the Caribbean, and to reassert U.S. hegemony, to reassert U.S. control, and to assure itself control of natural resources in the region.
So we're going to take a short break in about 3 minutes or so, but wanting to get a sense when we're in those countries that you've highlighted, what their response has been. After the break, I want to talk about CARICOM, but before then, Cuba, Nicaragua, Mexico, like what has their response been? Understand Colombia, right? We've seen a little bit more maybe of President Petro, but what has their response been to what many, not just in this country, but around the world, you know, see as an imminent threat of war?
They have all condemned the U.S. actions. They have condemned the sinking of the ships, the bombing of the ships, the killing of people. They have condemned the presence of the U.S. military in the region. They have condemned Trump's words and actions around Venezuela. But they're also not in a position to take military action. They're not in a position to go beyond simply the condemnation. We see the U.S. throwing its weight around. We see Trump threatening Mexico with renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement. We see pressure on Petro and Colombia with upcoming elections next year. So the dynamics within Latin America has changed somewhat with an emerging right-wing shift. We saw that in Argentina with Milei. We saw that in Ecuador with Noboa. We've seen that in Honduras with Nasralli or Asfura winning the election. So that we see a dynamic change within Latin America. And the left is in some ways in retreat in many countries. So that except for Mexico, the left is much more weakened throughout Latin America. And the U.S. seeks to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like all these military bases that the United States has in Colombia. And I'm not quite sure. Hopefully you'll give me some hints on the other side of this conversation we're going to have about our beloved station, but I'm not quite sure how that plays out. I'm from Ghana, West Africa, and we have a similar issue of a U.S. military base in our country. And I'm seeing in real time how that is causing us to be way more compromised as a country when it comes to U.S. imperialism than we would like. We are speaking with Professor Miguel Salas, and we will continue that conversation. But first, I want to bring in KPFK Program Director Extraordinaire, Gary Baca. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nana. And if you see Gary Baca, let him know that I'm looking for him, because he's the program director. But yes, seriously, folks, we do need to get you to the phones right now for this program, Sojourner Truth with Nana Jumphy and Margaret Prescott. 818-985-5735 is the number to call to pledge your support for this program. And we talk about U.S. occupation in other countries. You're only going to hear it here on KPFK 90.7. You're not going to hear it on mainstream news. It's not going out like that. You're going to hear it on Sojourner Truth. You're going to hear it on Democracy Now. You're going to hear it on the Tom Hartman program. So once again, we are offering a couple of thank you gifts, which is Spider, the book about Jeffrey Epstein. That's a $120 donation to the station. Also, the Tom Hartman book, which is a $100 donation to the station. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We also are offering Asada Shakur for a $100 donation, the autobiography, and you can break that down in monthly sustainer payments. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and pledge your support right now for this program. KPFK is in dire need of funds. We are listener-sponsored. We take no corporate ads or money. We are non-commercial, so we don't have to bow down to the corporations on what we can do and what we can say. So we want to stay independent. We want to stay public. We want to stay the people station. And once you become a member at that $25 level, that means that you're part of the family. So once again, $25 makes you a member right here at KPFK. Also, you can pledge at any amount, $50, $75, $100. But Nana, I think most folks need to get the T-shirt, which is a $65 level payment. And that way you could promote KPFK wherever you walk. You'll be our walking billboard. How about getting about five T-shirts for about five of your friends, and we can be all over the place, the tote bag, the mug, all that. A $65 donation to this station. Call the phone room at 818-985-5735, excuse me, and hit extension 2, and that'll get you to the phone room, and that way you could support this listener-sponsored radio station. And we really need to get the funds going. We have a transmitter that costs us almost $10,000 a month, and believe me, this money that we are making today, we're putting it in the pot, we're saving it, and that way we could pay our bills for January, February, March, and push the fund drive back, possibly all the way to April. So folks, call now and pledge your support. It's the end of the year fund drive. We are in fund drive now. This is the fall fund drive. So hey, take that tax break by pledging that $1,000, $2,000. You can ask the phone room how that works. You can ask your tax preparation person, how does that work? How do I get credit for that $1,000 payment, that tax deductible charitable donation that I give to KPFK? Well, hey, ask the phone room or ask your tax preparation person, but you can do it. You can do it now. You can get your credit card, call the phone room now and say, you know what? I want to pledge. You know, Tuesday was Giving Thursday, Giving Tuesday, and today is Friday. So if you didn't get to give on Giving Tuesday, then you might want to give on Friday before it's too late, before the end of the week. We only have a couple weeks left of this fund drive, so we're really trying to get you to the phones and try to get these funds raised so we could just take that break and give you regular programming. But yeah, let me give out the number one more time, 818-985-5735, and pledge your support for this radio station that we could stay on the air and stay relevant. 818-985-KPFK, or pledge securely online at kpfk.org. Hit that donate button. Thanks. Nana?
Thank you so very much. I got some folks that I'm trying to encourage to take that money. They're all doing the mass blackout, so they're not shopping with these bazillionaires that are trying to kill us and supporting things like the impending war on Venezuela. And I'm like, yeah, don't shop with them. Instead, donate some funds to KPFK, 818-985-5735. So hopefully folks will join. Thank you so very much, Gary. So back to you, Professor Salas. Wanting to get a sense, I want to pick up the question that I had about these bases in Colombia, because the United States actually has bases everywhere. They engage in military exercises with many of these countries, including Mexico, right? And so how does that impact? You've talked about some of this, but I'm really looking at the war machine part, right? How does that also impact what other countries, some of these countries you named, you know, particularly Mexico, I'm thinking about, and Colombia, how does that impact their capacity to intervene in a real way?
Well, as you pointed out, in the case of your own country, it compromises the ability of, in the independence of those countries, to take positions vis-a-vis the United States. So in that sense, the fact that you have military bases in the Caribbean, the fact you have military bases in Panama, Puerto Rico, in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and other areas, it compromises their ability to have an independent policy or to speak up about U.S. imperialism or to speak up about U.S. intervention. So that's one issue. On the other one, the other question you raised about CARICOM, the expectation would have been that CARICOM would have taken a much more stronger stance, particularly about U.S. intervention. And again, we've seen fractures and fissures. We see the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago allowing U.S. military forces to utilize the island, to station ships there. We see the same thing happening with Guyana. There, the compromise happens to be the role of ExxonMobil, who is also very keenly interested in Guyana's petroleum exports, as it had been in Venezuela previously. So all these multiple contradictions, or these layers of contradictions, are playing themselves out in the Caribbean as we see the U.S. policy towards intervention. But let me underscore, I personally believe that despite the show of force, the show of power, that there really is a sign of weakness. What the U.S. would normally do if it had the power would be to exercise economic interest, to exercise what they call soft power. And the reality is that they're exposing themselves by using bare power. They are really exposing their weaknesses. The same day that the U.S. was bombing a ship off the coast of Venezuela on September 2nd, China was investing $1 billion in oil exploration with the Venezuelan government. So again, we see the stark contrast between what the Chinese are doing and what the U.S. is doing.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you were saying that, what I was thinking about, Miguel, I thought about Chicago. Remember how they were talking all this stuff about the invasion of Chicago, and all Chicago had to do was put up some trucks, some ice trucks, right? Some snow trucks, and line them up on the freeway. And they were like, oh, maybe. And then they went to the suburbs, right? Because just that was enough flex for the regime to be like, oh, we actually don't want to do this, you know, full frontal attack. And I think that's what we've also seen with the bombing of like fisher boats and, yeah, you know, and other types of boats, as opposed to really going in and doing real damage. Before I let you go, because you talked about CARICOM and you talked about Guyana, what about Brazil? I feel like Brazil is something that maybe the administration is thinking about. The regime can't decide if they hate Lula or love him. You know, the leader of the regime is what do they call that? A clout chaser. And so just like he was grinning and swooning at Mamdani, he kind of does that with Lula, with President Lula as well. But what do you think, before I let you go, what do you think is happening with the Lula factor?
Well, Brazil, Colombia, and Qatar have all offered their services as mediators between the Trump administration and the Venezuelan government. So he's played a relatively very positive role in condemning the intervention, in condemning the U.S. military presence, and in proposing negotiated solutions. Petro himself in Colombia, Gustavo Petro, has done the same thing, and they've also had the support from Qatar in trying to find some kind of resolution. As I said earlier, there was one conversation we know of by phone between Trump and Maduro. But again, what has happened is that the hawks have won in the State Department with Marco Rubio and his position. And in many ways, it's no longer a Monroe Doctrine. In many ways, it's the Miami Doctrine, an exile community doctrine that is pushing for intervention in Venezuela. And what happened was you outsource your opposition. In many ways, you then become a pawn of the U.S.
And my last question, because I know you've got a role, and I thank you so much for giving us this time. Venezuelans here, what are they thinking? Because I know there was a time that you had sort of like the rich Venezuelans that were coming in, reminded folks a lot about the Cubans who had left Cuba around the time of Castro, who, and then you had the whole crew of asylum seekers that came in, really promoted and, you know, brought in, encouraged really by the Biden administration. I don't say that negatively, just, you know, they had the commercials and everything else because that was part of their soft war against Venezuela. But now you have folks that are getting deported, that are getting sent back, and their country, you know, is being threatened with war and bombings. What's the temperature with Venezuelans in the U.S. right now?
Contradiction. You hit the nail on the head. That's the contradiction between the 650,000 Venezuelans who are here on temporary protective status, who are now being shipped back to Venezuela. So the irony and the contradiction between the U.S. claiming Venezuela as an authoritarian government, at the same time deporting Venezuelans back to Venezuela. And then the other part of that is the reality that even in Dade County, even in the heart of the exile community, close to 50% are opposed to any U.S. intervention in Latin America and in Venezuela and against the attack on the boats. The polling on larger scale in terms of the U.S. is almost 70% of the population is against the bombing of the boats and of intervention in Venezuela. So one is in many ways can draw inspiration from the fact that the American population is rejecting yet another intervention, yet another context for or an excuse for like an Iraq-style war where they use weapons of mass destruction. In this case, they're now mentioning that these are narco-terrorists, that they're supporting Hezbollah, that they're supporting Hamas. They become more and more desperate in trying to create a narrative that someone will buy. And what's interesting is that people are rejecting most of their narrative.
Yes, as we see happening with so many of their policies across the board. Professor Miguel Salas, so thank you so much for joining us. How do people follow your work if they want to get with you?
The only social media I'm on is Twitter or X. So at Tinkers, M. Tinker Salas.
Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Looking forward to having you back on, and hopefully not because there's some kind of war that's been started. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Miguel Salas, Professor Emeritus in History and Chicano, Chicana, Latino, Latina Studies at Pomona College, and author of The Enduring Legacy, Oil, Culture, and Society in Venezuela. We will be back with my sister comrade, Megan Ortiz, right after this station break.
As a KPFK listener, you expect to hear smart conversations about important issues every time you turn on the radio. We bring you facts and analysis, not partisanship or hype, so you can form your own opinions on the news. You count on KPFK for informed, insightful reporting. Don't take coverage like this for granted. It's here for you, thanks to the generous financial support of our listeners. Support the programming you rely on right now by calling 818-985-5735 or contribute online at kpfk.org.
The This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics and author of Parallel Worlds and Hyperspace. And whenever I'm in Los Angeles, I tune into my favorite radio station, KPFK 90.7 on your FM dial.
818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We just want to take a quick break to let you know that our phone lines are open right now. We have currently no one on the line, and we need the support for Sojourner Truth that we can keep this show at the 5 o'clock hour. And, you know, we do have a goal of $1,000. We did have a couple of calls come in. We're probably about $700 and $50 short of our goal. So if we can get some folks out there to pledge that $50, at $25 to support KPFK, it would be much appreciated. We are in our fund drive now. You can get the Tom Hartman, The Last American President, A Broken Man, A Corrupt Party, and A World on the Brink book for a $100 pledge. And you know about Tom Hartman. You listen to him Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Tom Hartman, The Last American President, for a $100 donation, become a sustainer at $20 a month. Or Chris Hedges, A Genocide Foretold, reporting on survival, resistance in occupied Palestine. He was on the ground there. He witnessed all kinds of atrocities. He talks about it in his book. So right there, you get the firsthand account of what's going on in Gaza. $120 donation. Chris Hedges, A Genocide Foretold. 818-985-5735. Call now and pledge your support. 818-985-5735 or online at kpfk.org. Nana? Well, until we get Nana.
Thank you so very much.
There you go.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Appreciate you. You know I am in the field trying to beat back this regime here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you so very much.
Oh, we love you, Nana.
Folks, you're listening to Sojourner Truth with your co-host, Nana Jumphy. We are here during fund drives, and we're hoping that people, again, you know, this funds, they raise the prices on everything 7%. When Megan joins me, I know she gonna say that happened. They raise the prices 7% and telling us that they put it on sale. Don't pay these people anymore. They don't need no more money. They're using that money to beat our behinds. Give that money instead. Give it. Donate it to KPFK. Donate it to independent radio. Donate it to the spaces where you get to hear what we're listening to right now. Where else? Did you hear Professor Silas break it down all the way back to 1999 in that short period of time, letting us know what was really going on? That's what happens here at KPFK. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. But now we're going to continue the conversation that we've been having throughout this year on our battle against the invasion of the body snatchers with my beloved comrade, Megan Ortiz. Megan Ortiz is a Los Angeles-based Eurekan, got to always make sure we say that, organizer, journalist, and the executive director of ADEPSCA. So thrilled to have you on, Megan. How are you?
Always good to be with you, Nana. Always better with you.
Thank you. So before we even get into it, because there's a lot to get into, let people know who is ADEPSCA, what does ADEPSCA do, you know, talk about the work.
Yeah, thank you. So ADEPSCA stands for the Institute of Popular Education of Southern California. We're an organization that's been here on the ground for almost 30 years in Los Angeles, and I've had the privilege and honor of being director there for almost 11 now. And we work exclusively and only with and for day laborers and household workers in the greater Los Angeles area. We actually operate 5 day labor centers in the city of Los Angeles, and really have specific programming, support, and organizing programs specifically just for day laborers and household workers. And I know I don't have to tell you, Nana, and your audience how critical that is, especially right now, is our day labor centers have been the site of, to date, 17 Border Patrol raids since June. I've had the unfortunate privilege of being in three of those myself with these armed men in tactical gear and with assault rifles pointed at me and my staff and our beloved day labor community. So right now the work is even more important than ever, more critical than ever. And that's why also we're going to keep standing stronger than ever.
Yeah, we got to keep standing stronger than ever. Wanted to ask you also to help us understand, who is a day laborer? Because that word is used for, like, you know, people have different views of who that is. And I think it's important just so that we can understand what we're talking about when we're talking about this particularly vulnerable population of people, especially at this time.
Yeah, thanks, Nana. I think day laborer, unfortunately, has become sort of this weird catch-all term. You know, in Latin America, when you use the term jornalero, the Spanish translation for it, a lot of times it refers to, you know, people doing day work in farms. But here in the context of, you know, urban LA and other areas across the U.S., we're really talking about, you know, a predominantly male-identified population who looks for work and finds work on a short-term basis. Not necessarily because they want to, let's be really clear, but really because of the continued failure of anything close to immigration reform that has really left a huge amount of male-identified workers really unable to adjust their status. So really, day laborers run across so many industries. We think of them sometimes, especially in the framing of others, as unskilled. But day laborers are painters, are drywallers, lay tile, cut beautiful countertops from artificial stone that is killing them. Day laborers are electricians, are carpenters. Day laborers really run a gamut of industries across the city of LA, including warehouse work. So I think that's really critical to know that we're talking about, you know, yes, construction workers. We're also talking about plumbers and movers, but people who are also doing so much more.
And we used to see, you know, again, coming across our feeds a lot more, you know, lifted up in media a lot more, this focus on day laborers, right? And, you know, including the ways in which you had the body snatchers running, chasing people down the aisles of places like Home Depot, running people through parking lots, etc. But I feel like that has slowed down, that a lot more of what we see is like what's happening at schools or what's happening, you know, at cars, you know, that they're not really showing what's happening with day laborers anymore. They've like slowed that role. And when I say they, I'm talking about the media, the folks that are the influencers, the talkers, they've moved that. And now, so it's like, you know, people may be thinking that that's not a big focus anymore of the regime. And we know that that's not true. So talk more, you know, a little bit about that, please, Megan.
Yeah, there literally is not a week that goes by across the greater Southern California area that a day labor center, a day labor pickup area, a Home Depot parking lot is not being invaded and used as a hunting ground by Border Patrol and ICE agents. Just today alone, there were three Home Depots in Orange County where people were kidnapped from. And that's just in one day. I know, and it's not just here in Los Angeles. We know that now as you know, Border Patrol is going to our beloved cities like New Orleans, you know, Bovino, the head of Border Patrol was literally parading himself through a Home Depot parking lot, almost in defiance of, you know, the resistance that I know has always been really strong at down in New Orleans. In Portland, Oregon yesterday, in a town near Portland, Oregon, correction, Border Patrol literally went inside of a Home Depot and kidnapped someone. So this is something that continues to happen every single day in Southern California, but now is also being expanded to other parts of the country.
Yeah, so do you want to talk more about how folks are connecting up to provide some resistance and some support? But we'll do that on the other side of the conversation with, again, KPFK Program Director Gary Baca. Gary, how do folks make sure that they continue to hear from folks like our dear comrade Megan Ortiz about what is happening in our communities and around the country?
Well, if you appreciate this type of programming, you got to support it. And the phone number to call is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And Nana, here's a fundraising update. We're halfway to our goal. So if we have some folks out there, four of you, to pledge $100, we can reach our goal. So we're asking you to go to your phone now so that way we can have broadcasters like this on the line, and of course talking about immigration, talking about U.S. policies, and you have a strong, educated host, Nana Jumfie, right here with you. And, you know, when we hear the news, we want to be able to respect the host. We want to know that the host has given us truth to power, and that's what Nana gives you each and every Friday at 5 p.m. So if you appreciate that, please give us a call at 818-985-5735. A few weeks ago, we heard the voice of Margaret Prescott, and that was a joy just to hear her again on the airwaves with Sojourner Truth. And it's always an open outlet for Margaret Prescott. Of course, that was her show for many years, and it was that throughout the week at 7 a.m. And people supported this, and we support Nana as well as Margaret Prescott. So, folks, once again, go to your phone. We are offering many wonderful gifts that we have, and one of them is Chris Hedges, A Genocide Foretold, Reporting on Survival and Resistance in Occupied Palestine, an incredible book. You probably heard Chris Hedges on Law and Disorder. You heard him on KPFK. There's also a talk that we'll be offering soon, which is probably within the next couple of days, but we're asking you to get the book for a $120 donation, become a sustainer, and get that book with six payments at $20 to become that sustainer. We're looking for 500 new sustainers. We approximately have 350. So, hey, become a sustainer right here and support KPFK. We have the Tom Hartman book, The Last American President, A Broken Man, A Corrupt Party, and A World on the Brink. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Trump administration. He's talking about Trump himself and the future of democracy now here in America. Where is it going? You know, he's sending troops to all cities. He said he was deporting folks and, you know, the criminals, the people involved in crime. But no, people found out that 70% of the people being detained and deported have no criminal record other than a traffic ticket. So, you know, and he's going after American citizens now. But who's going to tell you that? KPFK is. And, you know, when you tune into this station, you find out what happened the day before. Because think about it. If we didn't listen to KPFK, Democracy Now!, Tom Hartman, we wouldn't even know what's going on. You can't tune into mainstream media, CNN. They're not going to give you all that. They're going to have an hour interview on some other subject. And right now, the Trump administration, they're talking about aliens. They're talking about disclosing Area 51 and there's aliens. They want to throw you off, but we know better than that. It's about the Epstein files. It's about what he's doing and the deportations and all this. So we know we're not going to get hoodwinked by the Trump administration. So we got 3 years of this joker, and we're going to continue to throw him under the bus if for some reason he's not doing the right thing, because the American citizens here, we deserve better. We deserve a good president, a good person right there in the White House, and we're not getting that right now. 818-985-5735, so we can stay on the air, so we can keep Sojourner Truth reliable, right here on the air, on the KPFK airways. We are listener-sponsored, and once again, this is the KPFK Fun Drive. We only have a couple weeks left. It just started a few days ago, so we're asking you to go to your phone and pledge your support. We do have Marcus Miller tickets, bassist. He played with Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, George Duke. He's going to be at Catalina's Bar and Grill. I don't know how many tickets we have left, but we have tickets for Saturday night at 10 and Sunday at 9 at Catalina's Bar and Grill, home of the $8 parking. And great food, great atmosphere, and great music. You can pledge $85. That's the donation level for Marcus Miller. And once again, ask the phone room if we have any tickets left. But we definitely have the books and bumper stickers and T-shirts and tote bag and mug. We have all that. So, folks, give us a call at 818-985-5735. But most of all, pledge for Nana Jumfy and Sojourner Truth and KPFK. That way we could stay on the air and not go away. Nana?
Absolutely. We got to stay on the air, folks. We cannot go away. We cannot allow them to try to take us away. That's what they're trying to do with our folks. No, Megan, it's this, you know, we have this this conversation we're having at Baji Black Alliance for Just Immigration where, you know, our call is stop, S-T-O-P, stop taking our people, right? Because that is what's happening everywhere. And we're resisting and we're continuing to resist. And so I know you talked some about how ADEPSCA has been resisting, but you know, talk to us generally about the ways that our people have been saying no, you know, as Gary pointed out just now, just like, no, this is not going to happen. We are going to face our front, as the Nigerians say, and we're going to make sure that we're dealing with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the beautiful thing about resistance movements, right, is that there's so many ways and so many ways to support, you know, for example, really working in solidarity with other movements, you know, taking a page and working directly with those from the BDS movement against what's happening in Gaza. You know, we, EDEPSCA is leading a boycott Home Depot coalition. Because as we have seen by these huge raids across these stores, that is a company that is complicit. It's a billion-dollar company that has supported the current regime. And we know they have a huge security infrastructure. So they need to step up, say something, and stop what is happening on their property. And until they do that, we're calling for a boycott. If you celebrate Christmas, buy your Christmas tree somewhere else. We even have a list of alternative stores where you can buy anything else. You know, if you need a hammer, don't buy it at Home Depot. Buy it at a local hardware store. You know, we also have, you know, volunteer patrollers literally that are documenting on the ground when these raids are happening so that we can provide the support that's needed. I don't have to tell you, Nana, how hard it is to find people when they are disappeared. They are literally just grabbing people. So it is through this documentation that we're able to find people, find their families, and offer that support once they're in these horrible concentration camps, aka privately run detention centers across the country. So there's that during raid and aftercare work that also happens. And then just, you know, the day-to-day solidarity work as we see all of this expanding, you know, I know Baji, you know, put out a message which is spot on in terms of the recent efforts of the Trump administration to really make a black ban, right? To go look back at his strategy, this of banning people from certain countries coming in, pausing asylum completely point blank, and really targeting, you know, African nations and African migrants, and saying horrible white supremacist things against the Somali people and other people across, you know, the continent of Africa. So really also working in solidarity to say that. I think a lot of people forget that not all day laborers are Latinos. A lot of day laborers are indigenous to their lands in Central America and beyond. We have seen an increase of day laborers from African countries. So this is something that actually really impacts so much more than just the Latino community. So, you know, getting with an organization, supporting in that way is really the best thing people can do because there's so many ways to help.
Thank you so very much, Megan. Really appreciate you. How do folks get in touch with ADEPSCA and help in whatever way, whatever resources, including themselves? How do they help if they want to follow your work and see what you all are doing?
Yes, absolutely. We are on all the socials, even TikTok. So just look us up at ADEPSCA, IDEPSCA, ADEPSCA. And then also my writing as well, anywhere that is NY Recon in LA, talking about the truth and all the work that we need to do to keep pushing back. And really appreciate you and your work, Nana, and everyone here.
Thank you so much, Megan. Appreciate your leadership and just your energy and your vibe. It ain't too many of us out here that are willing to take it to the wall, honey. Ain't too many of us out here, so I appreciate Woo! You.
I know that's true. That's why you call me, and I'm always here to support you, and I hope other people are calling in to support you and your show, too.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening, love.
Have a good Thank night you. To you and all your listeners.
Thank you. That was the great Megan Ortiz, Executive Director of ADEPSCA, making sure that we don't forget that day laborers are still being attacked by this regime and also still fighting back along with the rest of our communities. Folks, it is really critical, and it's going to take a couple minutes, and Gary, feel free to join me, but I do want to hear, I want people to hear my voice on this. This is really critical that this station is here. It's critical that this show is here. I mean, talking about our sister comrade, Margaret Prescott, think of the years that our beloved has put into this show and into this audience, into our listeners, into our communities. We know that she is a bad organizer, right? We know that she's someone that is always given to our community. And Sojourner Truth is one of her gifts. And it is the gift that keeps on giving. And so, yes, I'm so thrilled and pleased that we have people that are supporting my being a co-host here. But I also want people to donate towards the legacy that Margaret Prescott created with this show and continues to create with her continued connection with this show. I don't just jump on shows, right? This is not, I got a million other things that I'm doing as part of the community, but I knew that this show is so important and that whatever support I could provide, I was happy to do. And so we're asking you to do the same. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. Call that number now. Make your pledge. There's some gifts that you can get, but the gift is already here. The gift is this show. The gift is the legacy. The gift is the energy that people put in, whether it's the board operators, the associate producers, folks that are volunteer and staff that are putting time in, including people that are answering the phones right now at 818-985-5735. Let's kick this week, this first week of Fun Drive off correctly. I know that you all will not let us down.
That's right. We're counting on you. And Nana, I got to say, the phones have stopped ringing. So if there's anyone out there who's locked in traffic, and I know there's many of you on the 405, the 605, the 101, the 5, the 71, the 57. Hey, you're sitting there. You're going bumper to bumper. How about give us a call? Give us a call and pledge your support. 818-985-5735. How about giving us some love? That's what we need, and that's the message that we're spreading to Southern California. It's all about love, L-O-V-E, and we're asking for a little back. So if you're locked in traffic, give us a call. Do it for the volunteers that come in every day for free and get no pay and you're pledging for that. You're pledging for those people that are putting in their time. Do it for the ones who can't, who are in lockdown, who can't afford to. Pledge for them. Pledge that $50. Pledge that $100. How about Mario, who pledged during the last drive? He pledged $15, and he said, hey, you know, I wish I could afford more. I'm on a budget. I'm really houseless, but I just love KPFK, and we really didn't want to take the pledge, but he insisted. So that $15 helped us out. So folks, pledge for Mario and all the folks out there in Los Angeles. 818-985-5735 or www.kpfk.org. Thank you, Nana.
Thank you so much. That's our show, folks. I want to thank all the guests. I want to thank the Sojourner Truth team. I want to thank the board operator, Ozzy Flamenco, and assistant